Ministry is soul care. Our first goal as a church is to participate with God in the saving of souls based on the idea we are ambassadors for Christ. After someone experiences salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, soul care continues. Sanctification is the theological term the Bible uses to describe how we grow into Christ's likeness with the Holy Spirit's help. Growing up to be like Jesus is expected in the Christian life as much as growing into adulthood is expected of children and adolescents. Are you practicing soul care? Jesus cared for his soul by practicing Sabbath rest, a daily quiet time, and the disciplines of prayer and fasting. He also cared for his soul by memorizing Scripture. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
How to exercise soul care on today's Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Hello, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. During his life on earth, Jesus took care of his soul in four distinct ways, but he was doing more than looking out for himself. He was showing us how to take care of our souls. Stay with us as Ron continues his teaching series, Inside Out, Living and Loving from a Healthy Soul, or stop by somethinggoodradio.org to listen to messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Listen and subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now from Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor. Here's Ron with part two of his message, How Jesus Cared for His Soul.
And there were lots of pressures around him, people who were trying to hurry him up, people who understood his messianic mission, his earthly siblings, you know, hurry up and get to Jerusalem and present yourself. And he always lived an unhurried life, making enough room for him to seek solitary places and practice the discipline of what we might call a daily quiet time. There's no sense that Jesus was ever too busy to carve out some quiet time to spend with his Heavenly Father and to pray. Nor did he move too slowly, where he was lagging behind the Father's plan. You get the sense that he was right in step with the Father's plan. He practiced those unforced rhythms of grace, which always left enough time and energy to fulfill the Father's will, while also pursuing times of solitary moments with his Father and pursuing intimacy with him in prayer. The disciples must have observed this, and I think one of the times they might have observed is when, well, Mark, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, writes in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Now again, it's easy to just kind of gloss over that and move on to the more action-oriented scenes in the gospel. But don't miss the practices here of Jesus. I take early in the morning to mean before sunrise, while everybody else was sleeping. Jesus carved out some time to meet with his Heavenly Father. He prioritized time with his Heavenly Father over extra moments of sleep. He didn't say, "Oh, I'll sleep in." No, while everybody else, you know, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, right? We're sleeping and slumbering. Jesus knew that this time, this quiet time alone with his Father, was more important. And he was an early bird. Not because the early bird catches the wiggly worm. No, he wanted to catch his Father at a time when he was undistracted. Mark goes on to explain how the disciples awakened, and they immediately went looking for Jesus. Simon takes the lead here. Peter gets up and he notices all the crowds. They're already beginning to form in the early morning hours. They're looking for Jesus. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? They finally found him. They say, you know, Simon says to Jesus, "Everyone is looking for you." It didn't rattle Jesus at all. He says, I understand, Peter. I understand. But we're not going to where the crowds are, right in front of us. We're going over here." Peter's like, "You got to be kidding me. The crowds are all looking for you." Yeah, but he spent time with his Father in a quiet place where the Father could direct his day's priorities. And for that day, it wasn't with the crowd that was forming. It wasn't with all the demands. Oh, how it would transform our lives if we just, you know, learned from Jesus the unforced rhythms of grace and got with our Heavenly Father in a quiet place and listened to him. The silence and solitude that requires, I'll be honest with you, is not easy for us. During my sabbatical, I scheduled a little bit of time at a place called the Holy Cross Abbey. It's a Catholic monastery about an hour outside of Washington, D.C., right at the entrance to the beautiful Shenandoah National Park. It's a beautiful place. And it's a working monastery. They have, Cistercian monks that serve there, but they also have a little retreat center where if you want to go there and schedule a little bit of time away, you can. But what you need to know is it's a silent retreat. There's no talking. They give you a room where you can engage in as much solitude as you want, or you can walk, the beautiful grounds there. But one of the rules that they ask you to abide by is no talking. Now, we have meals together. There were about 15 people from various parts of, Virginia and surrounding areas that were there, and we had shared meals together in a dining hall. I found it a little bit strange to eat in silence. Nobody made any eye contact. You could tell those who had been doing this, previously, and nobody made eye contact. By about the third silent meal we experienced, I was feeling like a third grader with hyperactivity disorder. I just wanted to just burst out, "Hi, my name is Ron. I'm from Virginia Beach. What's your name and where are you from?" But if I did that, I feared that Brother Benedict would ask me to leave the premises, and rightly so. I broke the rules. But that sort of silence and solitude is what Jesus sought. He got up early in the morning, before the sunrise, and went out to a desolate place to pray. And when the sun came up and the demands of the people came, the Father had already redirected his priorities to go here, not here. Wow, what a way to live. Do you care enough about your soul to practice the kind of soul care that seeks out a daily quiet time with your Heavenly Father? Number three, Jesus cared for his soul by practicing the disciplines of prayer and fasting. Some of this is overlapping a little bit here, but let me highlight it this way. Luke chapter 4 and verse 42 and also Luke 5 and verse 16 tell us again, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. It also says that he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often did this. This wasn't something he did, periodically or when he was in a jam. This was his custom. This was his daily habit. The word often implies this early morning ritual with the Father was not occasional. Henry Nouwen, who was a practicing Catholic, he observes, "The more I read this nearly silent sentence locked in between the loud words of action, the more I have the sense that the secret of Jesus' ministry is hidden in that lonely place where he went to pray early in the morning, long before dawn." Do you care enough about your soul to practice that kind of soul care? To maybe give up some time between the sheets and find a lonely place, a quiet place where you can pray? What pressed Jesus to rise early in the morning also kept him up late at night, especially when he was making an important decision. Luke chapter 6 tells us, "In these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles." One of the most significant decisions that Jesus could make in his ministry would be the choosing of his 12 disciples. And he spent all night in prayer agonizing over that decision. It was an important one. When was the last time you faced a difficult decision, an important decision, a monumental decision in your life, and you called a personal all-nighter prayer meeting with your Father in heaven? And if we did that more often, it would transform maybe our decision-making. You know, none of the disciples were impressive men. They didn't have impressive resumes. But I picture Jesus praying over each of these men by name in that all-night prayer meeting. I wonder how many times he reviewed, you know, this guy Judas. Really, Father? I mean, don't you know about this guy? He had probably the most impressive resume, Judas did. But the other disciples were not impressive men by the world's standards.
We'll return to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones in just a moment. Listen on demand to any of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, be sure to check out our digital library, where you'll find more than 500 hours of video and audio teaching from Dr. Ron Jones. Search the streaming library by scripture or topic for answers to some of your most challenging questions. That's the digital library at somethinggoodradio.org. So let me ask you, do you have a passion to pray? Would you like to improve in that area? The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he gave them a model for prayer that even a child can learn. Dr. Ron Jones has written a full-length book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. And today he'd like to share it with you. Join Ron as he guides you, phrase by phrase, through the power and beauty of the prayer that begins, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You'll also find an entire chapter that explains how Jesus prays for you and me, as well as biblical answers to the age-old question, does God answer prayer? That's The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now let's get back to Ron as he shares the second half of today's message, how Jesus cared for his soul.
Overall, the Gospels record at least 25 times that Jesus prayed, including at his baptism, before and after healing people, while speaking to the Jewish leaders, before feeding multitudes of people. He prayed on the Mount of Transfiguration. He prayed when the 70 disciples returned. And he added to the spiritual discipline of prayer in a solitary place, a daily quiet time, he added to that the discipline of fasting. Fasting. Matthew 4 tells us the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness where the devil tempted him. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You think? If you've never fasted 40 hours, don't jump into a 40-day fast, all right? Work your way into it. The fact that Jesus began his ministry on a 40-day fast suggests he'd been practicing the discipline of fasting all his life, all right? I mean, he started as a young Jewish boy learning the discipline of fasting. He taught in Matthew chapter 6 the three pillars of Jewish piety. Not if you pray and if you give and if you fast, but when you pray and when you give and when you fast. This was part of a young Jewish man's life, the discipline of fasting. Fasting is one of the most misunderstood and therefore underutilized spiritual disciplines in the 21st century. In the Bible, fasting always has to do with eliminating something, primarily food, for a season and for a spiritual purpose. Emphasize that last part, for a spiritual purpose. I'm fasting to say no to my flesh in order to say yes to the Spirit of God. And while the devil at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights of fasting thought Jesus was weaker, and yes, he was hungry, he was stronger from the inside out. Because when you say no to the flesh that craves food, Your inner being is strengthened to say yes to the Spirit. This is the power of prayer and fasting. Henrietta Mears says, fasting is only profitable as an outward sign of an inward confession of sin. Merely refraining from eating will never bring a blessing. God wants a humble and contrite heart. There's a lot of talk today about intermittent fasting and the benefits to the body. Wow, the world's just waking up to what the Bible has always known to be true. But fasting, biblical fasting, yes, will benefit your body. Again, the interrelatedness of mind, body, heart, and soul. But when you fast for a spiritual purpose with a contrite heart, it benefits not just your body and recalibrating the rhythms and the metabolism of your body, but it cares for the soul. Because you become strengthened from the inside out to say yes to the Spirit and no to the nagging temptations of the flesh. Finally, Jesus cared for his soul by memorizing Scripture. And all you have to do is stay there in Matthew chapter 4 and go deeper into that story about Jesus in the wilderness and the temptation of the devil at the end of 40 days and 40 nights of tempting. The devil came and said, "Oh, we got Jesus in a weakened state. Hey, Jesus, are you hungry? See these stones over here? Why don't you turn them into bread?" And what did Jesus do? He says, "It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Next temptation came, it is written. Next temptation came, it is written. What's Jesus doing? He's quoting Scripture. He's picking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he's successfully doing battle with the devil at that moment of temptation. By the way, he didn't say, "Could you hold it just a moment, Mr. Devil, because my Bible's over here. I need to go find an appropriate verse to address with." No, he had it right on the tip of his tongue, right on the tip of his mind, right on the tip of his heart, because he had committed these verses to memory. And if memory serves me correct, every one of them comes from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. How successful would you be winning the spiritual victories in times of temptation if it depended on how much Scripture you had memorized from the book of Deuteronomy, let alone any other book of the Bible? But Jesus, a young boy growing up in a Jewish home, practiced certain disciplines and learned, you know, to care for his soul through Scripture memory. We talked about it last week, that living and loving from a healthy mind involves renewing the mind by reading the Bible, studying the Bible, memorizing Scripture, meditating upon the Scripture. And nothing prepares you for the spiritual warfare and battles you're going to face every day than memorized Scripture. It was one of the ways that Jesus said, "You know, I care enough about my soul to practice soul care." By practicing Sabbath rest, by practicing a daily quiet time, by practicing prayer and fasting, by memorizing Scripture, I ask you again, friends, do you care enough about your soul to practice soul care? Practice it the way Jesus did. And understand that if Jesus, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, in his humanity, felt it necessary to care for his soul this way, how much more do we need to practice soul care? Because if we don't, and we wrote this into our soul care policy, the potential is, well, at a minimum, burnout. Kind of like Elijah, you just get so burned out and stressed out and, you know, you just need some rest. Or spiritual failure. You got so frayed around the edges. Everything was from the outside in. And you didn't realize that living and loving happens from the inside out. And ministry, whether you're a vocational pastor or you're a volunteer in a church, volunteering on the first and third Sunday, that all happens from the inside out. And oftentimes when we hear of pastors failing or even lay people failing, or when we have a, a mysterious disappearance of somebody. You know, we're wondering, what happened to that person? It can go back to a lack of soul care. They might have just drifted away from the Lord, or there was a train wreck in their life, in their ministry, their marriage, or whatever. Do you care enough about your soul, mind, body, heart? Do you care enough about your family? Do you care enough about your church? Do you care enough about people you come in contact with every day to practice soul care? Because we live and we love from the inside out. And mind, body, heart, and soul, I don't know about you, I want to be healthy. There's no perfection, but I want to be healthy so that my interactions as a pastor, as a husband, as a parent, as just a person in the community leaves people with the aroma of Christ, leaves people with the sense, wow, I don't know what it is, but you and I know and the Father knows. I met with the Father. I have this practice behind the scenes, as Jesus did, that is really the secret to the power of his ministry. Those times when he got up when nobody else was looking, went away to a quiet place in a desolate place before the sun even rose. You say, Pastor, I'm not an early morning person. Become one. Because living and loving from the inside out and from a healthy soul depends on it.
Thanks for being here for today's Something Good radio message, How Jesus Cared for His Soul. I'm pleased to welcome in Dr. Ron Jones. Well, Pastor, today was such a great look at the way Jesus cared for his soul and the way he showed us how to care for ours. Now, for anyone listening who has really been struggling, someone who can't quite seem to find rest for his or her soul, is there anything in particular you could say to them in light of the message you just shared?
Sure thing, Brian. All four of these steps to soul care are important and beneficial. But if there's someone who is in desperate need of peace and hope, let's say someone who has lost his or her joy and can't find a way back to it, let me help by offering these two words. Are you ready for these? Think fast.
I like that, Pastor. Think fast.
I'm telling you, Brian, Jesus said it himself in Matthew 17 and verse 21. This kind does not go out except through prayer and fasting. Now, he was talking about casting out demons, and that may sound a little spooky to some of us, but let's face it. Every sin, every vice, every bad habit, every addiction has a demonic force behind it. The Bible is very clear about that. Now again, I strongly encourage implementing all four steps Jesus took to take care of his soul. Make them habits. But the truth is, the one we usually take advantage of the least is called fasting. And Jesus said it himself, sometimes that's the only one that will work.
Thanks so much for that encouragement, Ron. I don't think a very high percentage of believers are thinking fast nearly often enough. I know I'm not. Now, before we leave for the day, what can you tell us about the next message in your series, Inside Out, Living and Loving from a Healthy Soul?
Brian, part of the human makeup is that we have emotions. They're not necessarily good or evil. They're just part of who we are. We are emotional beings. Where we get into trouble is when we allow our emotions to govern our decisions. What we choose to say or not to say, because of how we feel, what we choose to do or not do based on how we feel. So next time, I want to build on what I talked about for the past 2 days, the way Jesus cared for his soul. Yes, he took advantage of the Sabbath. He spent time alone with God the Father. He prayed and fasted regularly, and he memorized Scripture. By doing that soul care, as I call it, Jesus was showing us how to develop healthy emotions. And that's the subject of my next message in the series, looking at just how emotionally healthy Jesus was and how we can be more like him.
That's tomorrow in Dr. Ron Jones' message, The Emotionally Healthy Jesus. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.